And our special guest tonight, Paul Stonehill, as we talk about Soviet UFO cases. More to come in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Paul, what can you tell us about the very strange Kola Peninsula sightings?
It's a strategic territory, and was very much valued by Soviets, and it's still there. Many areas off limits today. German Nazi Germany also had quite a lot of interest and did their best to get their hands on it, but could not. For centuries, for thousands of years, you had a very unusual phenomena associated with that, real estate. What's interesting is that Russian archaeologists discovered formations that go back thousands of years, definitely to the time of Stonehenge, Minoan Crete, ancient Egypt, strange stone formations that they call Babylons. Nobody knows why local people call them Babylons. Maybe it harkens back to the Sumer civilization. And when Russian archaeologists would present a photograph of these formation to, let's say, physicists, the physicists would say, what are you doing? You know, why are you showing me a photograph of an aerial antenna?
Mm-hmm.
And this is incredible. You have these formations throughout the north, Russian north, but especially in the Kola Peninsula. What's more important, this peninsula was the subject of one of the first KGB expeditions to study the paranormal, to learn what's going on there, study the Arctic psychosis disease, so, you know, to maybe to use it on the population. And it's very entangled with the early KGB research of the paranormal, people who were involved, and people who actually were killed later on by Stalin. Also, what's interesting about this peninsula is the a number of UFO reports coming and registered by KGB informants, by Soviet military researchers, and you have these cases of unusual cloud formations, unusual objects sighted over this peninsula, and again, a very, very febrile, very hectic interest, for example, of Nazi Germany to get their hands on it, not only because of the minerals,
and the strategic location.
Absolutely. It's a very interesting and complicated area, and I know that a number of expeditions recently had gone there, especially under a scientist named Dyomin, who unfortunately died recently. Now, this is the area of the Lapland, or the Russian so-called Russian Lapland, where the Russian Laps live, also indigenous population that nobody knows their origins, very secretive society, who are very protective of their beliefs, and who definitely have a lot. I published once an article about them in Fate magazine, and will continue to do so because there is a lot to study about Kola. I sent you a photograph of this stone formation, a stone circle, a maze-like structure that goes back, I think, about 4,000 years.
4,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. Is that part of the archaeological expeditions you were talking about?
No. The expeditions. Let's put it that way. There was an archaeological find, for example, in my homeland, Ukraine, back in the 19th century, where they discovered. Bottom line, an object was discovered that looked like an ancient rocket, by a Czech archaeologist, very famous personality. And city government was responsible to the point that they said, we are not sophisticated enough to dig out this object. Let it lay in the ground until those times when people know more will take it out. Well, those times came very quickly. In 1948, when Kiev was being rebuilt, after World War II, apparently Soviet archaeologists again uncovered this object. And it would give the address where it was. It was taken apart and removed. It was an ancient spaceship according to the stories we have, with Sanskrit writings in them, and technology that, you know, goes back to ancient India, Vimana-like craft. This was an incredible, very interesting story. Then there was a confirmation that in 1953, same city, Kiev, KGB arrested a person who had in his possession books that, again, ancient India, ancient books written in Sanskrit and Arabic, ancient Arabic, about Star Wars-like incidents and technologies. That information came about during the perestroika times. And what's interesting is that Professor Burdakov, whom I mentioned in connection with the Phobos incident, now this person, a brave person, and a very knowledgeable, told a story in a number of Soviet magazines of an object that was given for research to top Soviet scientists to find out what it was back in 1950s. They couldn't come to a conclusion. What is it they had in their hands? It was a microchip. Back in 1950s, Soviets had a microchip.
At that time, they had no idea what it was.
They had no idea what it was. Now, where would that microchip come from? You know, we can only make...
Not from Intel. We know that.
See, and that's, you know, small information like that. Also, apparently, there was a Finnish-Russian research, and still goes on, of objects of an ancient spaceship that crashed or was left behind in the northern territories. Again, you know, Kola Peninsula come to mind. Areas around North Russia, around St. Petersburg, where there always have been a number of interesting sightings for centuries. Again, something definitely lies in the ground of Russia. Permafrost. Was it uncovered? Most likely something was. Is there a lot more? Absolutely. And then we have to go back to, not back, but forth to Siberia, to the land called Yakutia. And Yakutia, we have reports, and there's a whole chapter about it. Apparently, native people have reported of gigantic, huge structure, cauldron-like metallic structures that have been lying for centuries in the permafrost, and of stories that something crashed and was embedded in the ground, and local people who would travel to the area would stop doing that and warn others not to, because strange disease would follow and hair falls out. And
is it like radiation?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they have stories of a pipe-like structure, a metallic structure, laughing abysses, I think they call it, in the ground, and sometimes fiery spheres would come out from this pipe-like structure and shoot into the sky. Then we go to 1908. That brings us to a very interesting story, episode that soon will have 100 years anniversary.
Tunguska.
Tunguska. And, you know, we present a study of all theories, as many as possible. But what's interesting is that based on the reports we have collected and others have collected and we have amassed together, there were more than one object that exploded or imploded or something happened over the Taiga in 1908. More than one object in the sky over Russian Taiga met, encountered each other, and obviously there was an encounter that ended in the destruction. Now, based on interesting research done by Russian scientist Uvarov, and ufologist, whatever was in the soil of Yakutia shot down a comet, an object that came into Earth atmosphere to destroy the planet. It's like an asteroid today. Now, I know scientists are trying to predict that something will come in 2036, are worried.
Right.
Well, that apparently this is what happened in 1908. That's one theory. There are other
theories. Natural explosion of an object.
Absolutely. Something shut down.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, if, you know, maybe this is the same situation as you have in the Phobos, which happened with Phobos. Maybe it's the same entity that is guarding our planet just like it's guarding Mars. We have many other theories of what happened in the over the taiga. Suffice it to say, we still do not know. There are no tangible proof. Nothing was found that can be touched or, researched, smelled. But we do know that there were very interesting expeditions to the area and unusual developments. There was an expedition of Russian scientists in that area in 1908, at exactly at the time this incident took place. Nothing was recorded in their writing. It's like somebody wiped it out.
And it was what, 1,300 square miles of damage?
Yeah. It was a huge damage. But the explosion itself was much more. It's 21 square mile, 21 square kilometers of forest. Whatever happened, it flattened thousands of miles of forest. There was no craters left, no obvious fragments. Nobody knows what it is. But I gotta tell your listeners that it just didn't happen that day. Many days before, strange phenomena was experienced on Earth.
In many countries,
silvery clouds, objects sighted all over the world, unusual objects. It's like nature was getting ready for something to take place. And, I can only, go into in generalities here, but in the book we present much more than that, dates and facts and so forth. But it's like something was about to give birth. And on that day, on the June the 30th, it did. Something either exploded or imploded over Siberia. And the effects were felt throughout the Earth. There were, moonless nights. There were geomagnetic effects on the planet. There was, you could see much more than that. You could feel much more. All around the world, strange dust, other effects of an explosion or implosion. Nobody knows what it is.
What does your gut tell you, Paul? What do
you think? My gut tells me something. There was an encounter between two or more bodies over Siberian taiga. It was a fight between an object that came into our atmosphere that was about to destroy the planet with its huge impact, and something that took it down.
It's almost as if we were rescued.
We were rescued. And this is such an unusual story that I urge everybody to follow as much as possible.
And maybe it was pushed over Tunguska, where there really were no inhabitants at the time, were there?
There were no inhabitants. And
nope.
That's why people, talked about Nikola Tesla, theories of testing his weapons.
Right.
Yeah, we present all kinds of theories. From scientific, as much as possible. What interests me is that in Russia, in the Soviet Union, there were people who talked about this from 1940s on. And this is how ufology was born, by the way, the interest to this phenomenon in the Soviet Union, that something exploded over the Tunguska. And only nowadays we start getting stories of these unusual expeditions that went to the site. Stalin had an expedition in late 1940s, Beria, actually, his chief of police, who sent one of the best scientists to do the research, bring him results, and we don't know what happened to the files. We know about the expedition, we know what they collected, but we don't know what happened to the actual results.
Paul,
still classified.
Tell us what some of the cosmonauts have said about UFOs and UFO reports.
Well, many, some of them were quite outspoken, like Khrunov, and they would say, thousands of people believe in UFOs, and then they go into their observations. Some had seen gigantic waves rising up in the ocean, in the Indian Ocean, crashing against each other. I've never heard anything like that,
no.
But they've seen it. Some cosmonauts would describe very close encounters, and no matter how improbable it sounds, we still don't know what happened. For example, in the fifth expedition, Soyuz space station, Kovalenko and another cosmonaut reported seeing aliens come out from their spacecraft.
In the was that when they were in the Mir?
Not the Mir. They say it was the Soyuz orbital station. But also, you know, the same cosmonaut would describe spheres that they would see in space, unusual objects, and they knew it was no space crash. They knew quite a lot. Also, cosmonauts would describe other phenomena, like whisper in space. This is unusual.
Now, what's that? A
strange whisper would come into their mind and would tell them, would present facts that only they would know, facts about their life, about their past, and would say, leave, you're not ready to be in space yet. You are not at that level yet. And it would follow them. And, you know, people who were atheists stopped being such. And, again, this is just some of the phenomena that the cosmonauts had encountered.
Did they ever report seeing beings, creatures, entities?
Angels. There was a report of angels being seen by one of the expeditions. We go into that, too. And it changed their lives, of course. And they were ordered not to talk about it too much. And that's just...
angels, like winged angels?
Yes, like real angels. This was a very interesting report. What else can I tell you? You know, some of them were shy to come out. Few of them would say, no, nothing like that exists. They were like hesitant, Russian cosmonauts, to say. But, you know, some of them mentioned very interesting incidents, like, you know, well, there may be more than just to the story than a little green man knock on your porthole. Where did that come from? You know, you hear rumors like that. And then some of them just came out and were quite open about their experiences. What's interesting is also we have a report of a scientist from the Russian space program. And in 1995, he related interesting stories about what they recorded on their devices. And they still have those films. Very strange pulsations, zones, fog-like zones that would come from nowhere, saucer-like shapes. Those films, the Soviet space, Russian space agency has. And, you know, this gentleman, his name is Strankov, reported, for example, that there have been several UFO reports by cosmonauts. Now, this is not a cosmonaut talking, but one of their space officials. Very interesting. And, again, you know, some of the cosmonauts just came out and were quite honest and open about what they had experienced.
You've sent us a photograph of an object by Kaliningrad, and we'll talk about that when we come right back. For those of you who haven't seen it, get up to the coasttocoastam.com website. It is absolutely startling. Other regions of this planet, Brazil, for example, lots of UFO reports there as well, Paul.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Brazil, and I would definitely tell your listeners to keep their eyes open on territories in Central Asia for centuries, and even today, because it's a highly volatile territories. You know, you could have zones of possible military conflict. Something attracts UFOs to those areas and areas of research. China is a silent giant. They know something. These guys are eager to fly into space, and they're going to go solo in their space program.
Yeah, and they want to go fast. We'll be back. We'll talk about more of these cases and episodes on Coast to Coast AM. Well, now that it's February 22nd in most time zones, I can wish my father a happy 84th birthday today. Happy birthday, Dad. Love you. And when we come back, we'll continue our very special discussion with Paul Stonehill. Next hour, we'll open up the phone lines. I bet you've got a great question or two. Back in a moment. Hey, Paul, can you give us the complete breakdown on this Kaliningrad, Russia situation? We've got the photograph posted on the website that you sent us. And just tell us about this episode.
An object was sighted, I believe, on the 16th of February over that the Kaliningrad area. And it was an object that moved slowly and noiselessly towards the river. And again, this is a lot of this is off-limits area. And there was another object that joined the first UFO later on. A Russian student college student took was able to take a video film of this and show it to the scientists who do not know what it is. They thought it may be a meteorological balloon, but they're not sure. So they're still going to study it. It was, again, yellow elongated object. Very interesting. Typical UFO, phenomena.
Sure.
But about the Kaliningrad, there was another report that I've got recently, and that one goes back to the 29th of January, where an unusual donut-like object was sighted at the height of 500 meters. It was, it had a few colors. I think most prevalent was blue color, and it had tail like a comet. And it was reported, and local people studied it, including biophysicists studied it, but they were not sure what it is. It most likely Russian test of new Russian weapons by their navy, because they do have a powerful naval presence there, and it's a very hot area in itself because of the new developments with NATO and Russia, and threats that are coming out. Again, this would be a definite interest to UFOs. And, you put it in the, you always put things in perspective. Kaliningrad used to be Königsberg, East Prussia.
I see. Okay.
And not only that, during the war, the British Air Force was bombing the dust out from that city. Why? Because there used to be a German research, very classified research institution in that area, also involved in the paranormal research. And we don't even know what else. And the story of this city is very complicated, and there's something that's lying in the soil of East Prussia that a lot of people are looking for. And so you start with one thing and you go into another. And I do believe a lot of this is interconnected.
Paul, as we look at all these cases, we've got to, again, go back and reflect about the Chernobyl episode.
Oh, absolutely.
Lots of people said that they witnessed a UFO over that nuclear power plant when it was having its problems, its meltdown. Is that true?
Yes, that's absolutely true. And we give names of people who had cited it and what they mentioned. And the upshot is that a UFO was doing all it could to extinguish the fire over that reactor number 4, and it succeeded. But we also present information about UFOs before the fact and after the fact, because now that the KGB documents have been declassified and presented, for example, on the website of the Ukrainian FBI. Like agency, we know that similar incidents were taking place, were about to take place in Chernobyl, and the Soviets knew about this. So if the Soviets knew about this, those who had spied on Soviets also knew that. And obviously, whatever forces out there, they knew that Chernobyl was a danger, obvious danger. And just in time, like in 1908, in 1986, an object came to the rescue. And that gives me great hope, because we've done a lot of bad things to the planet. And maybe there's something out there to protect us.
I always thought that they wouldn't get involved, Paul, but maybe they do, huh?
Maybe there is a so-called prime directive that they have at the end to get involved. Because, again, look at the Ural Mountains, for example. That's where the Soviets had horrible ecological disasters because of their nuclear experiments and biological, bacteriological warfare and so forth. And that's where you had many sightings of UFOs, many reports coming from that area. And I really hope, to God, because my belief in God does not contradict my interest in UFOs.
Of course not. If anything, it enhances it.
Absolutely. And, when you get reports from Chernobyl that, an object, would shoot out rays to extinguish fire in the reactor, that gives you hope, because God knows what would have happened if this was not contained.
Just incredible. Do we have photographs of this by any chance?
I don't know. There are some photographs of objects over Chernobyl in the later years, not too much later. And actually, we give name of the person who might have them. No, who has them? Who has and reports of witnesses' names and the cities they live in. And I hope they're still alive, those people, because time goes by. But we try to be Philip and myself. We try to be very, very detail oriented, and we also give addresses of research entities that study UFOs, you know, civilian in Ukraine, in Russia, and names of responsible researchers like Mikhail Gerstein or Colonel Kolchin.
In your opinion, are these extraterrestrial, these time machines coming from another era? Are they dimensional? What do you think these are?
It's at this point, my opinion is not as important as, for example, Azaza.
All right.
Who believes they're not extraterrestrial?
That they're not. They're, did you say they're not?
They're not. He is convinced they're not extraterrestrial. He thinks maybe another dimension and so forth. And this is the person who brought so much information about USOs, and still does his work.
So another dimension, or perhaps time travelers.
Some believe in time travelers, but other dimensions too. We just do not know enough, but it definitely something that is not of this planet is here. It may be from another parallel planet. And that's very interesting. Some believe outright, yes, those are extraterrestrial. And again, responsible people who have done research for many years. Now, military scientists, when you leaf through the pages of the book and read their assessments, all they wanted to know whether it presents danger to the Soviet Union, but they had the goods in their hands. They had information about cases we know very little about, just rumors, like the Arkhangelsk dust. We don't even know what that dust is.
You know, we do. I got to tell you, Paul, to believe that these are extraterrestrial from other planetary systems is indeed fascinating, but to believe that they're from another dimension is absolutely staggering, because it opens up your mind to all kinds of possibilities. I mean, it tells you that maybe for sure there is life after death, that there are these other dimensions or planes of existence. It is incredible, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's incredible. Now, documentary evidence. We have chapters of the so-called ancient sightings. One of them, it always... I have goosebumps when I read it. It comes from, again, from Kiev, from the city of my birth, going back to 1065 Common Era BC. I'm sorry, AC. And this is a report of a strange object that hovered over the sky. It was a great star with blood-colored rays coming from it. It used to hover over Kiev for days, for 7 days. Each evening it would come out after the sunset. Something happened. About the same time, a baby was thrown into the river that used to exist in that city area.
A baby?
A baby-like creature.
Uh-huh.
The fishermen caught this baby in their nets. They brought it out of the river. They looked at the baby for a long time until it became dark, and then they threw it back into the river, because they were frightened by the child's appearance. The baby looked, now, from ancient Russian.
Right.
Its face was shameful. It had shameful features. And features they could not describe. You know, again, people at that time, because of the shame that would cause. And sun was changing at the same time. There was something wrong with the sun glare. It was bright during the day, and at one time it resembled the moon, and I'm writing it as it was written down. I'm reading it as it was written down. So who was that baby? Did that baby look like an alien that is being reported, and perception of the people of that age?
Maybe. Or maybe it was a mutant.
Maybe. And then it brings me back to the Ural Mountains of, you know, let's say 10 years ago, where a very mutant-like creature was reported, Kishtim dwarf. The Japanese are very interested in that case. Similar case. But, you know, everything is interconnected, and I'm just looking at Russia, but, you know, I hope somebody finds parallels with other cases. And definitely there will be 1960s USOs in Argentina and in the Soviet Union reports. Or if you read in the for example, in the reports we have from the 18th century about the strange clouds that would appear over Moscow or aerial battles. I mean, I think it was a Dutch ambassador and a spy who collected this report. I think during the days of 1716, Peter the Great. Very interesting report about clouds appearing in the sky, and then you see they're not clouds, they're objects, and those objects start exchanging rays, starting shooting at each other like a bright pillar, and then the clouds, so to say, crashed into each other with terrible force and shattered from the impact, and there was a flame forming in the point of the impact, and it was accompanied by smoke and rays of flame in all directions. I mean, who would come up with something like that in 1716?
Yeah, you could. The description is incredible.
And it's incredible. And we try to present as much as possible, going century by century. And then you hear fascinating cases from ancient Russia where people would write down reports, crosses in the sky, but not religious type of crosses. Similar. I have interesting report. Here is 1204 AC. There was a great sign in the sky. Three suns had appeared in the east and four suns in the west. And in the middle of the sky, a giant moon-like sign was observed. Or you look at 1111 AC. A fiery pillar from the ground up to the sky appeared. There were lightning all around, thunderous noise, and everybody could see the pillar.
Isn't it interesting, too, that you're getting reports of UFO sightings and activity over Chechnya?
Of course, just like Central Asia. Chechnya was a very interesting area that definitely attracted UFOs. And just to be cynical, not cynical, just to be accurate, we have presented a study of objects that people thought to be UFOs. They were actually Russian, new type of Russian drones, very capable, very interesting development, military development. So to cast that aside, then you have reports of gigantic objects that were seen over Chechnya. We also present a report that the late Chechen commander Dudayev had very interesting information about a UFO in his hand, and diagrams, and apparently he died, and most of the information died, was perished with him, but not everything, because they also had scientists on the Chechen side who were interested in that during the war.
What is one of your favorite Soviet UFO cases ever?
There are a number. 1908 would be the best, because it needs to be studied. Then there was a very sinister case of 1985 of the 2-134 airplane where UFO actually shot rays at an aircraft, and pilots died. It was very bad electromagnetic burns. And what was it? A Soviet space test of new Soviet weapons, or maybe aircraft? Most likely. Why was it accompanied by UFOs? Yes. You see, whenever the Soviets are testing something. We're testing something new in their skies, a UFO would follow.
Paul, we're getting reports in this country, and we've been doing this now for 10 years, of huge triangular-shaped objects. Most of them occur near military bases, so I'm a little suspect there. But we're getting these reports, these very quiet, large objects. They see them at night. They seem to cloak themselves with the star patterns of the sky. But they're huge. I mean, absolutely huge. Are you getting that in Russia, the former Soviet Union?
Yes. And now there are less reports in today's Russia. But again, here is the report. 25th of September, 1967, over the sky of Shakhty in Russia.
1967.
67. A very unusual phenomenon. You could see a very bright object and huge. It changed its shape from a triangular shape to the perpendicular shape, and it moved very slowly to the east. And that's just the one report. We have reports of triangular objects We have a whole chapter about so-called Belgian triangles over the Soviet Union. But yes, there are many reports of such shapes. I would say if you have a huge UFO, it's either a disc-like object or this cigar-shaped object that we discussed, or a triangular object.
When do we find out about the inhabitants, the occupants?
This I cannot answer. I can only, my job, I think it's going to be very soon because of the state of our planet. In 1065, common era, you know, they didn't have weapons we have today. In 1111 AC, we did not put junk into the bottom of our ocean like the military munitions we do today. Munitions that are about to lose their casings, and then all the poison will be unleashed into the oceans. If whoever else is here with us, and I believe there is a presence, they don't like what we're doing to the planet, and they may want to stop us or prevent us from doing any more harm.
Are there abduction cases in the former Soviet Union?
Yes, and according to a judge who had a special research, there were up to 5,000 cases a year. I would say because of the situation with the disintegration of the Soviet Union, many of the people were just killed. But he had done very interesting research, and he does says 5,000 people and you a year or more. And I think you do have a certain amount of people being abducted, kidnapped, taken away. And again, in the book, we try to present all sorts of information. For example, animal mutilation cases.
Yes.
That's reported in Siberia in 1860. Nobody in 1860 read, tabloid newspapers in Russia. They did not exist.
No, of course not.
You know, and the Soviet Union was a pristine, pure land, you know, shut off from any tabloid information. And that's why the value of information we have received and collected, it's there, because nobody could influence, like today, they could, not at that time. Nobody could influence minds of Soviet population. Nobody could, you know, present ideas of similar things happening in the West. They just didn't know that.
Do you think if an extraterrestrial came out of a craft and was surrounded, let's say, by Russian troops, do you think they would shoot at it?
No. No, because they have instructions not to.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have had, unless somebody was really drunk, which could also happen.
Possible.
Yeah.
Stay with us, Paul. Back with you in a moment. We'll open up the phone lines now. Fascinating subject matter. I'm George Norrie, Paul Stonehill here, Russian UFO cases on Coast to Coast AM.